The following special feature of WKQK Radio 1300 is pre-recorded.
This is a rebroadcast of the Brevard at Large program from November 22, 2020, featuring Pamela Rogan, founder and executive director of Harmony Farms.
It's time once again for Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large, where we meet various guests and discuss issues and items of interest to all of us here on the Space Coast. My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today we are very pleased to welcome back as our guest, Pam Rogan, the founder and executive director of Harmony Farms, Inc. Welcome, Ms. Rogan.
Thank you. It's very nice to be back. We always enjoy talking with you folks.
And we always enjoy talking to you. Why don't we start by having you tell our listeners what exactly is Harmony Farms?
Okay. Harmony Farms is a not-for-profit, volunteer-based charity providing equine-assisted activities and therapy to disabled individuals of all ages to enhance their quality of life, to build confidence, independence, and self-esteem. We were established in 1992, so this is our 28th year in service. We have 11 therapy horses and 60 riders, and we are located at 2205 Pluckybaum Road in Cocoa.
And so the services that you provide, they all involve horseback riding?
Yes, they involve, at this program right now, our therapeutic riding program involves riding. We do have a few riders that have now graduated to some degree, so they can also come and volunteer in the barn. Two young ladies come and volunteer before their ride, so they spend about an hour and a half in the barn cleaning stalls, grooming horses, just doing all the chores that need to be done before they ride. So this is just trying to expand their independence a little bit. They normally come with their parents, and now the parent has been able to drop them off and come back just in time to watch them ride. So the girls get a sense of independence because mom's not always there. So we do that with several riders. They can move up and graduate up to doing some volunteer chores that are definitely supervised, but it still is a step up for them. And we have a ground program that we do, which is just working with horses on the ground, leading, grooming, doing all kinds of activities with them, but no riding. And right now, that program is only for our veterans program. We have been working with the Veterans Center down in Vieira, and they have picked a group that comes out once a month. They haven't been out for several months, obviously, but they come out once a month and just work with the horses. And these are mostly veterans with PTSD and some mental issues like that.
Well, that brings up the question, what sorts of therapy, or for the therapy for what sorts of medical conditions or psychological conditions are you able to provide services for?
Right. We pretty much run the gamut. We have probably about 45% of our riding roster are people in the autism spectrum. And then we have quite a few with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, some mental issues, mostly a PTSD, multiple sclerosis. We have one person with Parkinson's, and pretty much that's it. You know, the autism spectrum disorder covers the whole thing with learning disability and a whole bunch of things in that respect, some very mild, some very extreme, and we handle all of them. We're the only program in Brevard County that handles physical, mental, and emotional disabilities.
And is there some sort of certification that's required for the folks that work at Harmony Farms to be able to provide these services?
Yes, we're part of a national organization called PATH, P-A-T-H, and that stands for Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship International. They work as a regulatory agency, but they also provide certification for our instructors. All of our instructors are certified. They have to go through a training process, which basically teaches them how to work with the different disabilities. They have to be proficient in horsemanship, be able to ride, be able to teach lessons, make lesson plans. And we also have our center has to adhere to a very strict standards and guidelines that are set by the national organization.
How many instructors do you have?
Right now we have 4 instructors.
One in training.
Excuse me?
One in training.
Yeah, 4 instructors and one in, actually, 2 in training, almost 2 in training, 1.5 in training. He hasn't committed yet, but he's on his way. I don't think he'd appreciate hearing me call him a half a person, but it's very interesting because it's a gentleman who is retired. I'm sure he's well into his 60s, if not a little bit older. And he's been coming out for the last couple of months. And he probably is the last person that I would have expected to say, I'd like to get certified. And he hit me with that last week, I guess it was. And I said, are you serious? And he said, yes, my wife loves having me out of the house.
Well, that sounds about right.
But
sound familiar? He has extensive horse experience from his younger days. He had horses, he rode horses, so he's very proficient. And I was thrilled when he said that because he would be perfect. He fits in very well. He's like a grandpa to some of the younger riders. So that really fits well with us. So now he has to start the certification process. Is could take several months for them to get certified. So he's ready to start that after the first of the year.
Well, speaking of his wife wanting him out of the house, we heard a male voice in the background. We assume that's your husband, so we should give him.
Yes. Yeah, see, now when you do it this way, you get the whole family.
That's right.
Yes, he agreed with me.
So we thank him for providing the information, helping you with providing that information.
Yeah, he's Harmony Farms handyman.
Oh, well, there you go. He's a jack of all trades. He does whatever you need to have done.
Yeah. He helps out with bookkeeping, and actually, he's got another buddy that comes out, another husband of a volunteer, and they're right now a 2-man handyman team, and they do building all our fences, does repairs, and all kind of stuff like that. We have another volunteer whose husband comes out and does mowing, and the ladies are the ones that get this started, but we find places for the guys to work too.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they're listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today our guest is, once again, is Pam Rogan, the founder executive director of Harmony Farms. Ms. Rogan, explain for our listeners, how is it that working with horses is beneficial to someone with perhaps who's on the autism spectrum?
Well, particularly for somebody with autism, in general, autism or any other disability, the horse becomes the motivator, and it's the motivator to improve movement, muscle tone, verbalization, attention span. A rider with a physical disability they're getting the rhythmically moving horse, and it makes their body respond. We often see riders with physical needs show improvement in flexibility, balance, muscle strength, circulation, and breathing. For riders on the autism spectrum, one of the best things about riding is those children do not do well in team sports. It's very difficult for them, but they do want to be involved in some recreation and some sport. Horseback riding is pretty much a one-on-one situation, even if you're working in the arena with four other riders, and we generally have groups of five. So they're working with other riders, and a lot of times they are doing a group lesson where everybody's doing the same thing, or we're playing games, which is therapy, but the kids think it's games, and playing basketball on horseback, okay, that kind of thing. But for them, they're involved in a sport. They're doing something that probably most of their other friends don't do. They're excelling in it. They're controlling this 1,200-pound animal all on their own in most cases. They also, a lot of children in the autism spectrum are somewhat tactile defensive. They don't want people touching them. There is no touching between us and the rider the majority of the time. It's all between the rider and the horse. We have a lot of riders who will get off their horse when they're done, give their horse a hug, and then hug everybody that works with them, which is highly unusual. The other thing is they have to interact with the people that are working with them. And most children with autism do not want to interact with other people. But they have to listen and talk to their instructor. Some of them that have a leader and a sidewalker, they have to interact with those people. But I like to say that the horses are magical, and what they do just changes those riders. It just makes them, gives them a sense of doing something on their own, something that they're responsible for, and they can do it. The other thing is, horses don't ask questions and they don't judge. They love everybody.
Well, I imagine that many of your clients develop a sense of pride of being able to ride the horse and work with the horse and control the horse.
Right. Very definitely. That's why it was really all the events that we weren't able to do this year and even some of the riding and stuff. That didn't have as much of an impact, in my opinion, as not being able to have our showtime, because that's the day that the rider's parents come out and watch them ride, or grandma and grandpa have never seen them ride. And even if it's just doing a simple thing, you have a child who's in a wheelchair who can't sit up with cerebral palsy, who's now sitting and riding a horse. Okay, with assistance, helping them stay on the horse. But that's a big thing, a really big thing. And we have a lot of parents who say, I would never get on that horse. And we've had people say that. The kid has no fear. The parent has a fear. But it's really very special for them. And at showtime, we have different groups that go out and they all do different things. There are some trail classes. We play red light, green light. There's a bunch of different things that they do. And everybody wins a ribbon. Everyone is a winner in showtime. They all get a ribbon. After they've been riding at Harmony Farms for 5 years, every 5 years they get a trophy. So it's a pretty big deal that we had to miss that day. So we're going to schedule showtime so that it's a little bit later than usual and we don't run into another virus, hopefully, in 2021.
Well, let's all hope that that's the case. Well, that brings up a question that suppose you have someone with a disability who has no experience with horses at all. Isn't there an adjustment period? I mean, you bring a young child who's never had any interaction with a horse before, bring that young child to Harmony Farms, and there's this huge animal there. Isn't it natural for that child to have fear of that horse?
No, because children are not born fearing anything.
Oh, we and just get fearful when we get older because I'm afraid of everything.
Right. Well, no, Stephen, that has something to do with it, because most children that are afraid of dogs, horses, anything like that, they've been taught to be afraid. They're not naturally afraid. And most of the time what happens, it's the parent that has a fear, and they instill that fear in the child. And we had that happen with our daughter-in-law. We had her, she's got the baby on the floor changing his diaper when we were up in New York. And the fan was over and going round and round. The baby's watching it, totally content. And her comment was, "Oh, it's a fan. Now don't be afraid." And I'm like, "What? What did you say?" And we've had parents, as they're walking up to the barn for the first time, I hear them say, "Now he's a big, big horse. Now don't be afraid." And we immediately shut them down right there. "Okay, you stay over here, Mom. We're taking over from here on." And I've had kids walk up, tiny little 4 or 5 year old kids walk up to a huge 16-2 hand horse, walk over, wrap it arm around their leg and just stand there looking up in awe at this horse. Absolutely no fear. Yeah, I've had kids walk under a horse. Okay. that gave us all a little pause. Okay?
That gave you some fear.
Yes, yeah, which I learned fear that day, you know. And the horse is just like, "Oh, where'd you go?" You know. See, and that's the other thing. Horses are very gentle. And yes, you have your crazy horses and you have people who have gotten hurt on horses. Most of the time when people get hurt or get thrown off or something like that, they should never have been riding that horse in the first place. They probably don't have any experience and got on the wrong horse. People who got kicked or bit by horses had no business being where they were when it happened. And I would say that's the majority of the time. And I usually tell people, if you have a fear of horses, come to Harmony Farms and meet our horses. And you'll learn how gentle they can be and how much you have to, you respect them and they will respect you. You know, it's as simple as that. And the kids don't come in with a fear. As far as training, you know, I've had a kid, she was probably about 13, and she had a learning disability, mild learning disability. This is long before they called it autism. She came with the school, and we bring her over to the mountain ramp to get on the horse. And the whole time she was there before she got on, she's petting, she's fawning all over the horse. She loved the horse. We go to have her get on, and she's like, "No, no, 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 no." And I'm like, "You can do it. I know you can do it. That's all right. Just let me help you get on." And one of her other schoolmates comes over and says, "You can do it. You can do it." And the whole time she's sitting down on the horse, gets her leg over, sits down. "No, no, no." I said, "Okay, go walk." They walk away, and then you start hearing, "No, no, no, no." And then she starts laughing, and I'm like, "You liked it, right?" You know, you just, that's part of our training, okay? That's part of, and that really, it doesn't come from training. It comes from experience with doing this so many years, and you learn. We have a reputation for being a little, we're very, very hands-on. Our riders, our volunteers are very hands-on. And that's the only way you're going to learn how to work around horses, how to ride horses. But it also has a reverse effect, because the better the horses know you, the more they accept whatever you ask them to do.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today we are very pleased to welcome back Pam Rogan, the founder and executive director of Harmony Farms. And before the break, we were talking about that particularly your younger clients, they generally do not have a fear of horses, or don't have that. Most of their fears are learned fears or learned behaviors. But I just want to put a little plug in for the parents. The parents aren't bad people, because they just want to protect their children. Maybe sometimes that's a bad thing, but it's not like they're trying to make their children a bundle of anxiety. They just want to make sure that they understand that there are some things that are dangerous and you need to be careful.
Right. And also in that respect, if their fear was really that intense, they would not have their child there riding.
Right. I mean, if they were really
Right, and actually, it's not a fear from what I've seen. It's an apprehension, okay? It's an apprehension because it's unknown to them also. You know, this is something their doctor might have recommended, the therapist might have recommended it, or their friend. A lot of them have friends whose children ride, and then they said, oh, my goodness, I saw how the benefits that they're getting. I thought I would like to have my child do the same thing. But there's an apprehension of the unknown. You know, and even though we know that this is going to be a good thing, it's still, okay, here you are. You can have my child who can't sit up, can't speak, can't do anything. Go ahead, put him on that 1,200-pound animal.
Yeah. And that's understandable that they might be apprehensive.
And that's not to say you shouldn't be careful or exercise caution around a horse. You can't, you know, just do whatever you want and go wild around them. But, I mean, as like you said, as long as you respect the horse will respect you.
That's right. That's right. You know, and one of the things when we do volunteer orientations, okay, and one of the questions that I ask, and I like to ask this of school kids too, but I ask the volunteers, has anybody ever told you never walk behind a horse? And almost everybody says, oh, yeah, you're going to get kicked. And I prove to them that that is not always correct by standing behind a horse and putting my head on his butt and just standing there petting him. And I'm like, oh, gee, I didn't get kicked. Yeah, it comes down to horses are still by nature fright and flight animals. That's how they stay alive, okay, because they are prey animals to other animals and to humans. So it's a horse's nature. If something is near me, touching me, or I hear something, I don't stick around to find out if it's friend or foe. I'm out of here. So you walk up to the back of a horse and tap him on the butt, what do you think he's going to do if he doesn't know where you came from? He's probably going to take off, but he might give you a little kick before he leaves. So you don't want to do that. If you're working around a horse, you keep a hand on the horse and talk to him. As long as he knows where you are, he's not going to get scared and he's not going to react. Very simple, with the exception of crazy horses.
And I assume that Harmony Farms tries to not have any crazy horses. That would not be a good thing.
No crazy horses allowed.
Right.
Only crazy people.
Right. What is the age range of the clients that you serve?
Well, right now, it used to be 4 was the youngest, but now we have a 3-year-old who's riding, who has done tremendously in the last 8 months that he's been riding. And our oldest rider now is probably 75. And we have everything in between. Mostly, I would say the majority of our riders are between the ages of 7 and 18. That's the majority.
So mostly children. Younger, mostly children.
Yeah. But we have quite a few adults, and the adults, you know, span the whole spectrum on disabilities, and a couple of Downs, and certainly Parkinson and multiple sclerosis are adults, and a few with. I have my one rider that's been riding with us for 25 years.
Wow.
She was 10 when she started, yes. She has cerebral palsy. It affects just her hips, not her brain or anything. But she's been riding that long and has gone from a young girl who needed people on both sides holding her on the horse and somebody leading the horse to being able to ride independently with nobody holding on and nobody leading her, just her riding. So we're very, very proud of that. We've got quite a few that are like that. And that's a great accomplishment for her, too. She also happens to be horse crazy, so that helps.
So do most of your clients have a specific horse that they work with?
Most of the time they will. That's kind of a twofold. Every one of our clients has a favorite horse. Okay, their favorite horse may not be the horse that they're riding. Usually we will start them out on a particular horse and they'll stay with that horse for a while if that horse is suited to, number one, their ability, number two, what the instructor is trying to accomplish. And we base our program on the rider's ability, not their disability. So if I'm looking at a rider who cannot sit up, but he can hold on to the reins, and he can sit up if somebody's helping him, then I'm going to put him on a particular type of horse. If he needs a lot of assistance staying on, we're certainly going to put him on a shorter, slower horse. Most riders with attention deficit disorder, with autism that need to keep their attention, we'll put them on a horse with a little bit faster gait, even a faster gait at walking, so it keeps their attention. If things get too slow, their eyes and their mind are going to wander off and they won't be paying attention. So that's how you're gearing it to what horse you use. But most of them do stay with the same horse unless we need to bump it up a little bit and we'll go to somebody that moves a little bit differently.
So suppose you have a client who, you said they all have a favorite horse, but they're not working with that favorite horse that particular day. Do they have the opportunity to go over and say hello to their horse and interact with their horse? Their favorite horse, that is.
Yes, yeah, and we do that. And we do pictures. We send pictures to riders. We allow people to take pictures all the time. So our horses are probably the most photographed horses in Brevard County and the most spoiled horses in Brevard County.
Well, do the horses get used to the clients? I mean, do they, just like the clients have a favorite horse, do the horses have favorite clients?
Yes, very definitely. We have one horse who is a little bit older now, but when he first came, he was... as a matter of fact, I almost didn't keep him. He was given to us by a friend, and he was just a pain. He knew where the gate was. I'm going to the gate. I don't care what you're saying. He pulled people everywhere. He did everything, and I'm like, this is not working. And I had a theory about when horses turn 20, it's like somebody flipped the switch, and they say, okay, I have to act like a grown-up now.
They're no longer
and
teenagers.
They start behaving. Yeah, that's right. And they understand that. At least this is the world according to me.
But that's what your experience has shown you.
Right. But they show a little bit more maturity. And we've seen it happen again and again. Well, this horse in particular, it took him until he was about 23 to realize that he didn't read the book. Yeah, he was a little slow. But he went from being a horse that I'm not going to stand at the mountain ramp. As soon as that rider's off my back, I want you to move me out of here. Okay. He went from that to we started putting two riders on him that required a lot of help. people on both sides holding on to the rider, somebody leading. Everything was done slowly. We would take the rider off, put her back in her wheelchair, and he would turn and put his head in her lap.
Wow.
And he only did it with two, and they were both females, two riders. He didn't do with anybody else. So is that a favorite? I think so. You know, and I think they do. I know that they develop a rapport with people, even just with the volunteers. And I read a couple of articles recently that they did a lot of experimentation with horses and said that horses are very adept at reading people's emotions. And I knew that. I didn't have to read it. I've seen them do it. And they also realized that horses recognize expressions in pictures and in person.
Really? So you can show them a picture of someone and they can recognize the expression?
Yep. And they showed a couple of horses, the same person smiling, you know, and they had, you know, kind of just, okay, nice picture. That was about it. And then they would show them that picture of the person frowning. And they found, because they were testing heartbeat, heart rate, all of this other stuff, and they found an increase in the heart rate and stress levels when they showed them the picture of the person frowning. And I've seen horses pick up on people's personality and temperament, because we'll have somebody say, I don't want to work with that horse, she hates me. And I'm like, why do you think she hates you? Because she tries to bite me every time I bleed her.
That might be an indication.
Okay, you're right on that one. But the horse had no reason not to like this person. But there was just something about her. You know that yourself as people. There's just some people that don't sit right with you. And horses pick up on that also. I've seen them mourn. You know, we talked earlier about we lost three horses in this year, okay? And the three that we lost, yeah, they were, Emily was 32, and Irish was 31, and Picasso was 29. So they've been around a long time. They've been a part of the herd for a long time. And I think Duke right now, he was very, very close with Irish and Picasso. They were the three amigos. And Duke is still mourning. We just put them down August and July. And I've seen it happen when we put a horse down. For the week after that, the whole herd is very funky. It's just like they're a little off and you can't put your hand on it, your finger on it. But you see a reaction because they've lost part of their family.
And they know that family member is gone? They're just not there anymore?
Yeah. Right, right. And it's a different reaction. You see a reaction if a horse, and we don't have this happen too often, that a horse leaves to go someplace else and doesn't come back. It's the opposite. We get the horses that leave somebody else and come to us. So you don't see that. But it's almost like when they're gone, they know they're gone. How? I don't know.
And they know they're not coming back.
That's right. Yeah. We had a horse that was really bad. I mean, she had to be put down. It was kind of unexpected, but expected at the same time because she was older. And when we put her in the trailer and took her, well, this is when we were at the ranch and they buried the horses at the ranch. And we put her in a trailer, took her to the spot, and as we drove past the pasture, all the horses ran up to the fence. And one of the horses, who was her buddy, was just wailing, just whinnying for her like crazy. And she had left before to go to the vet and go do other things. Never had that happen. But they knew. They knew that they were not going to see her again.
That's sad. In fact, it's fascinating, but sad. And so, how you said the three horses that you lost, and we're sorry that you lost them. One was 32 years old, one was 31, one was 29. How long does a horse, what's the lifespan of a horse?
Well, just like people, horses are living longer because medicines and feed and stuff is better than it used to be. There's a lot that they can cure with horses. Also, our horses are on a healthcare plan with our vet. So the vet sees them four times a year. They get their regular shots and stuff like that, which it's just like a person who sees a doctor once in a while or all the time, and somebody who never goes to the doctor. They do live longer, but still a 30-year-old horse is probably equivalent to a 98-year-old person.
So that's getting up there.
But they age better than we do because you're not going to see a 98-year-old running across the pasture cavorting with his friends. It's just not going to happen.
but you can tell when a horse is approaching 30, you can tell that, you can see signs of aging. I mean, as someone who works with horses all the time, I assume you can that. Whereas a casual person might not know, might see a horse and might think, I have no idea how old this horse is.
Right. You can, if a horse is well taken care of and he's allowed to be a horse, okay, in his later years, it's just like people, okay? If you don't use your muscles and your body's not going to support you, okay? We're dealing with arthritis more than anything else with the horses. They get glaucoma, they get cataracts, they get arthritis, they get a lot of stuff that we do. Arthritis is the main thing because they have their back leg, that major joint in their back leg that has like three different joints in there, and that's the key spot for arthritis to start. That causes pain, and then eventually it'll fuse and they'll be very stiff. If you keep a horse moving, you might prolong that from happening, but also keeping them moving and active helps them. So you might start seeing them get a little bit stiff. You might start seeing them lose muscle tone. That's the main thing. Again, if you're not using them, even just letting them run around and be horses and exercise, that helps that not happening. And then I guess the biggest thing, and very rarely do they lose their eyesight unless it's from something, from an injury or a disease. So they don't, they're not like people. But they do lose their teeth, and they lose their back teeth because horses' teeth are erupting their whole life until they turn about 28, 29, and then it starts wearing down. So they'll start breaking off and not be able to chew properly, and you have to be very careful with what type of food or hay you give them.
I guess that's why if you've ever seen an X-ray of a horse's skull, their teeth look incredibly large.
Right.
I mean, they look much larger than you can actually see in their mouths.
Right, because the majority is below the gum line.
Well, the obviously 2020 has been a very unusual year, and you were indicating that horses can get a lot of diseases that people can get. I hope they can't get COVID-19, can they?
No, they can't. No. Thankfully, they cannot.
Good. Good. And in this unusual year, you've already touched on some things, some changes that have happened at Harmony Farms, but what changes or hardships has the pandemic caused for Harmony Farms?
Okay. Quite a bit, actually. We've been fortunate and unfortunate. We normally only ride September through June, and we shut down, through the beginning of June, we shut down for the later part of June, July, and August. So we would not normally have income from our riders then. But when the pandemic hit, in March, we had to stop riding. So we lost 3 months of income from riding. We were not able to have our major fundraiser, the Buckaroo Ball, that was scheduled for March, the end of March. That resulted in a loss of minimum of $20,000. The loss of riding for the period represented about $14,000. And the loss that we had to two other events, well, Showtime, the Blizzard, we had a trivia night scheduled. None of that has taken place. And probably altogether, we lost about $45,000 in income. On the flip side of that, we have been able to apply and receive several grants that were COVID relief grants. So that has helped tremendously. I also am very happy to say that some of the regular local grants that we put in for every year have added a COVID relief benefit. So it's a little bit easier to get the grant approved, because if you show that you had a loss, you will be approved. Brevard County was very supportive. We were able to get a $10,000 CARES grant from the county, which came just at the right time. So we had, all of that has been very beneficial, but what has helped us more than anything else is the support from the community. We put the word out via Facebook and our website, and people have been so supportive. It's just been mind-boggling, and it really helped us get through. We have live animals. So whether we have a pandemic or not, they have to eat. They have to be taken care of. The facility has to be taken care of. Manure has to be moved. Okay. So that we don't, there's no getting away from that. Right. So as a result of that, you know, we need people out there. We need people working. And we had to come up with a safe plan for people to not only come back as riders, but also for our volunteers to work with the riders and work at the facility. It's kind of easy to social distance at the barn. You make sure you're a horse length apart, and then you're fine. That's 6 feet, okay? And, you know, cleaning out stalls. If somebody's in a stall, they're 12 feet away from you if they're in the next stall. We required masks. We try not to let anybody in the barn that we don't know. We have signs up, you know, if you have been sick or been exposed to anybody, please do not stay. We appreciate you wanting to help, but we can't. We were taking temperatures. We clean all the equipment that the riders use as the rider finishes. The reins, the pad, everything goes into the laundry. Everybody must wear a mask. We have started insisting that our riders buy their own helmet, so we don't have to worry about trying to sanitize helmets. And so far it's worked. You know, we have a COVID release that we have everybody sign, and we've just been very cautious. And we've been doing a good job. We've got hand sanitizers everywhere you look. We've got washing stations. You really can't pass it to the horses, so that's a benefit. Plus, everything is done outside. So far, you know, knock wood, we've done very well, and we're happy as we're moving forward. Has it been tough? Yeah, it has been. We're just getting by, but the help from the community has certainly been a tremendous effort.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today, our guest is Pam Rogan, the founder and executive director of Harmony Farms. And before the station identification, we were talking about changes at Harmony Farms that have taken place as a result of this unusual year of 2020 with the worldwide pandemic. Is your ridership, your clientele down as a result of the pandemic?
Not really. We have probably, I guess it's 10 riders whose health is a little bit more fragile than the others. And either that or they have the type of condition where it requires much more hands-on by our volunteers, either to get them on and off the horse or to hang on to them while they're riding. And so they have decided not to come back until either there's a vaccine or things are much better, which will probably be after the first of the year. But it's only 9 riders, and probably more than half of them are still paying for their lessons. And that was a choice of their family giving us a donation.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yes, it is. We have so many wonderful people associated with our Harmony Farms family, and I call it a family. between the riders, the volunteers, the staff, everyone, even our boarding barn. Our boarding barn is part of our family, too, because everybody in that barn volunteers or donates money and gives, you know, just helps out because they believe in the program. So it really has been not that bad, but not that good, if that makes any sense.
So the boarding barn, you also board horses that are not part of the therapy, therapeutic
correct.
Horses. So if someone has a horse that they need to board, that they want to come out and ride every so often, they'll pay a fee for that. And you can take so
correct.
Many horses.
And yes, we're full because I have 2 horses coming in December. So we have no empty stalls at this point.
For boarding.
For boarding, yes. Yeah.
And
which is a good thing.
Are you taking new clients for the therapeutic services?
Well, we have added, in the last month, we added 5 new riders. I do have a waiting list for riders, and we will not be taking any new riders. I do have a couple of openings, but we won't be taking any new riders, at least until after the first of the year, till we see how things settle down. Because, like I said before, in addition to not having some riders come back, we also are down volunteers. There are some who are snowbirds who have not been able to come back. One of our top volunteers comes from Canada, and they're not allowed to come into the United States. She's really disappointed because they always spend the winter here. So she said, well, I could probably get in, but I wouldn't be able to go home again.
So if any of our listeners would like to volunteer, are you still accepting volunteers at this time to do various things at Harmony Farms?
All the time. Yep, all the time. Minimum age is 14. The volunteer days, the session days, are Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday in the morning, 8:30 to noon, and Thursday afternoon, 4 to 6. If they're interested in volunteering, just show up on one of those days, and you can go on our website, harmonyfarmsinc.com, and that gives you the times and days also. Just show up on one of those days. We will get you set up, and then you can pick up the next orientation, which is the first Saturday of every month. You don't have to wait until then to start. We'll get you started right away.
But you bring a mask. You have to wear a mask.
Yes, you have to wear a mask, and we have masks available. That was the other thing we were able to get from the county. They provided us with tons of masks and sanitizers and gloves and everything, which was very nice. Brevard County really has stepped up to this as far as the not-for-profits and small businesses are concerned. So if people want to come and volunteer, you know, we could always use the help.
Yet another wonderful thing about Brevard County, which makes it a wonderful place to live.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is, really.
Now, we talked earlier about the sad news that you lost three horses in the past year or so. Mm-hmm. Have you gained any new horses?
Yes, we have. We have two absolutely beautiful, wonderful horses that have come in. One horse is 17 years old. Her name is Diamond. She's about 16 hands.
Let me interrupt you for one second. Does that 20-year-old rule, does that apply equally to male horses and female horses?
Probably not.
The females mature more quickly, males.
You remember Moody Mares that I talked about before. And actually, no, if I think about that, probably the females are better. The females, most female horses, which are mares, they have much more of a maternal instinct than the male horses do. And I see that with some of them, but you have quite a few mares that are very, very dominant, and they will become the alpha mare in the herd. There's a leader of the herd, the head gelding. In the wild, it would be the stallion. And then there's an alpha mare who actually is the one that's in charge, kind of like at home.
Right. Right. She lets the alpha male think that he's in charge, but that's not really the case.
And you were going to make a comment over there? My husband's chuckling. But she's the one that decides in the wild. Actually, it's the mare that decides we're staying here, we're leaving, we're going, get rid of those young guys out of the herd and that kind of thing. So she really calls the shots. The stallion in the wild, all he does is breed and fight. So
and pretend, and again, pretend he's in charge.
Correct, right, very good. See, you're learning, okay. So it carries over to a domesticated herd. And funny thing today, we saw it happen today. The vet was there. Actually, you'd be interested in this. The vet was there doing acupuncture on two of our horses.
Wow.
And, yeah, they get massages and acupuncture more than I ever do. I can tell you that much.
It's like being at a spa.
That's right. Yeah. And then they have a shower after that. But the first horse that came in was Duke. Duke is like fourth or fifth down the line. So Duke was finished. He went back out again. And then we brought Novi in. Novi is the head of the herd. Well, Novi is attached at the hip to Dub, who is the alpha mare. So he's carrying on. I'm not going to stand still unless I see her. So we said, all right, we'll go get her and bring her in. So she's in. So now we have the two leaders. The next one is Spud, who is already in because he had a cut and got stitches yesterday. So he's the right-hand man to the leader. There's always a head gelding and then somebody else. So the three leaders of the herd were in the barn. When we went to turn Duke out, we go to the back of the barn where the pasture is open. Well, four of the other horses that are out in the pasture are standing there, and we're like, what are you doing here? We don't know what to do. Our leaders are gone.
So we're just waiting for further directions.
So we're like, really? And then once the other two were ready, we put them out, and then there they go. Everybody follows them into the next pasture. So it's very, very interesting. The pecking order is in cement. You know, they know who's in charge and who's not.
So you were starting to talk before we talked about the leadership within the herd. You were starting to talk about the new horses. I think you said you have a 17-year-old mare named Diamond.
Diamond, yes, yes. She's a beautiful pink. She's a very pretty horse. But she's a little dominant. When we first got her, we tried putting her in with the herd, and she segregated the alpha mare, and then she went after everybody else, including Novi, the head of the herd. She was awful. She was really, really bad. So we're like, okay, you can't go in with the rest of the herd. Well, then we, in July, we got Mister. And Mister is a quarter horse who is about 16'2". He is only 10 years old. Wow. Very, very quiet. He loves people, absolutely loves people. He would rather hang around with us than he would the horses. And he fit into the herd. Second day he was there, in there, everybody accepted him, not a problem. We had them all out loose. We let them out in the open compound where the grass is better. And we let them run around out there. And he was out there one day with all of them. And we let Diamond loose with the rest of them just to see what would happen. And she walked over to the rest of the herd, started eating, had her back to Mister, and he went after her and put her in her place big time. She immediately went over to Novi, and Novi didn't give her any relief either. So then she walked off, and it's like, good, this is what she needed. She had to be put in her place and had to be taught the pecking order.
And so,
we haven't tried her back there yet. We're going to, we're off next week. We don't have any lessons, so we have the whole week. We're going to work just fool around with horses. So we're going to work on that next week and see if we can get her in with the herd.
We understand that you have an annual calendar that comes out. Are you going to be able to do that this year for Harmony Farms?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the calendar should be delivered probably the week after Thanksgiving. So people can put an order in right now. They can reserve a calendar, but we always have plenty.
How much are the calendars?
$10, and it's beautiful, glossy, nice portraits of the horses, information about Harmony Farms. There's a memorial to the three horses that passed this year, and pictures of our cats, and people take sponsorships, and they sponsor different horses in different pages. So it's very, very nice. We're proud of the pictures that we chose this year.
And
it's a lot of fun.
They should be in soon?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I will make sure that you get one.
Oh, well, thank you. In the past, I didn't have the opportunity to visit the website. In the past, we have visited the website, and our favorite part of the Harmony Farms website is the biographies of the horses. Do you still have the biographies on the website?
Yes, we do. And you should definitely visit because you will see Diamond and Mister's biographies in there.
We encourage all our listeners to go to the website because it's really quite entertaining to read because the biographies are written from the perspective of the horse.
Of Novi, yes, the head of the herd.
Right. Of Novi, the head of the herd. And he's giving his opinion about all the other members of the herd.
And it's not always that great either.
there's a particular comment about a thoroughbred.
Yeah. I have to give some credit to the idea for that was developed by a very good friend of mine who was my right-hand man for a long time, Pearl Parazak, and unfortunately she passed away, I guess it was 2004 or 5. But she came up with that and she started the first one and I've kept it going ever since then. And we have to update it every now and then because personalities change and attitudes change.
Right.
Boyfriends and girlfriends change.
Right. So what else would you like our listeners to know about Harmony Farms, Ms. Rogan?
Well, I would like you to know that, you know, we are a charity. Donations and even donations of equipment, we always need Toilet paper. Who doesn't need toilet paper now?
I understand it's getting harder to find again. So
I know it is. Yes, starting again. Toilet paper, paper towels, bottled water, Gatorade, anything like that. We could always use, and as much as cash donations. So you know, we are a charity. Any donations are tax deductible. But we can also use the help. We could use people coming out. You do not have to have horse experience. If you're not comfortable working with the horses or not comfortable working with the riders, we always have administrative stuff to do, helping out with fundraisers. We will be doing fundraisers next year. We have to be positive about this. So we always need help in that respect if you're not that comfortable riding, working with the horses or riders. So there's always something for everybody to do. And like I said, if there's any guys out there, my husband could use some help on his little work crew.
Well, that about wraps it up for this week's edition of Radio 1300's Weekly Community Affairs Program, Brevard at Large. We would like to thank Pam Rogan very much. She's the founder and executive director of Harmony Farms, and we encourage our listeners to check out the website for Harmony Farms. If you just Google Harmony Farms, I'm sure it will come up, and the Facebook page. And if you can help Harmony Farms, they do wonderful work. And if you can help them in any way,
and they happen to be next door to the radio station. You
know, that's true. They do happen to be next door to the radio station, and hopefully.
And the station is still ready.
Hopefully 2021 will be a more normal year for everybody, including Harmony Farms. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Rogan.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope everybody stays safe and healthy. And here's looking forward to a much better 2021. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening.